You're listening to Chapter and Verse, the teaching ministry of Mule Shoe Fellowship with Steve Frisco. This message was recorded on January 20th, 2021, and is titled January 20th, 2021. Grab your Bible, turn to the book of Acts, and let's join Steve in the message.
During all this COVID and politics and all of that stuff, one of the neat things that's happened in all this, first of all, look, a lot of people. And on the other side of the camera, we got a lot of people. People are ready for truth. They're ready for something they can understand, ready for something they can use when they get out the door. And it's all necessary. Today was a big day in American history. This will go down as a monumental time for America. Not unlike 4-year periods leading up to this. We're no different than the kings of Israel. There was good ones and there was bad ones, and there was people that had different opinions about who was what. That's the nice thing about living in America, is not only do you get to have an opinion, but you get to have your say at the ballot box. If you don't exercise that say, then it's on you. We also have a right to free speech, and we have a right to assembly. And so for the last 4 years around here, I've exercised my right to assemble and my right to speak. I had 4 minutes of mourning a while ago while I took down the Trump sign. I didn't weep, but I got choked up. The reason, and we've had people come and go through here, because I'm too political, or I got up into somebody's business. I believed in what I believe in. I could back it up with facts. I could back it up with the Bible. I can back my play. Now I'm not going to beat that drum anymore. We move on to a new strategy. We promoted what we thought needed to happen for an election. It didn't happen. For those of you that didn't get a comfort puppy at the door, I'm sorry we ran out. We don't need comfort puppies. We don't throw our suckers in the dirt. Doesn't matter if we got cheated or didn't get cheated. There's a good side to all this. I mean, one of the things I was explaining to my daughters today, I said, I don't expect y'all to understand because you never played football. But if you've ever been in the locker room at halftime and you were getting your tail kicked 80 to nothing, you just want the second half to be over. You're ready for a break. Well, guess what? That battlefield is over. We fought through the election. We all listened to a lot of information. How many of y'all would agree that the information highway in America, no matter whether you're conservative or liberal, it's very tainted. A lot of it's false. Even guys who claimed it came straight from God, and it sure missed by a country mile in a lot of areas. So we have trouble gleaning information. How much of the information that y'all gleaned in the last 90 days moved you emotionally? You don't have to raise your hand. I can see your faces. And how much of that was absolute truth for your intelligence? Not much. We need wisdom. Emotion's great. When you get fired up about something, you get passionate about something, praise the Lord. But we don't need your feet to start moving until wisdom engages. These strategies of God, just like the county-to-county thing. You're going to hear a lot about that now. You heard other strategies leading up to the election. I, for one, believe 110% that the people of God have to be involved in the governments and political systems of this land, or we are not one nation under God. If God's not the government of our land, we are not one nation under God. And so this is why we stay engaged. I think you serve God by serving your kitchen table, serving your community and serving your country. I don't know how else you do it. You don't do it by going to church. You don't do it by a lot of other means in organized and institutional religion. You do it by serving those around you and tending to the garden, tending to the promise that we have here in America. So we fought the good fight. Robin and I tried to live by example. We used our time. We used our resources. We took time to learn and to use this fellowship and the things that God had given us to convey a message that we believe to be right and true. Now, at the end of the day, we had us about a 72-hour gut punch, and we're fine. We're ready to move on to the next thing. So as we move on to the next thing, you just well know ahead of time, this will never be a place where you come get your church jollies. Never. This will never be your comfort zone. This will be your uncomfortable zone. You know why? Because everybody here's got to go outside. And there's things to do outside. So a minute ago, while we were in there praying, the Lord spoke to me. It's pretty interesting. You see, I followed a model in history here in my prayer time and engaging in all these things. I believe that our country is headed for a new revolution, but it will be preceded by the second awakening. That's my prophetic word. I'm not going to make any predictions of timelines, who's going to do it, but I did get a timeline while I was in that prayer room a minute ago. How many of y'all would like to see this country come back to a right standing in the next 24 months? How many of y'all know that's not going to happen? How many of y'all know that in 24 months, we have another opportunity for a chess move that will move things in the right direction so we could be better in 48 months? How many of y'all would like that? How many of y'all are ready to do the work that the true next revolution, the true reconciling of America happens in 40 years. And it's up to you to start the process on January 20, 2021. Because the Revolutionary War began in 1776. The Great Awakening began in 1737. Because churches were dull, mundane, lifeless. And it was being reflected in the immorality of the next generation. And revival came through solid preaching by God proving his word with miracles, signs, and wonders. And anointed men of God came to America and preached, and town by town. It didn't have counties then, so it was community by community. Revival came to America. And it was the Great Awakening. The one true move of God on our land that didn't get sold out for the gold or the glory or the girls, but evolved into a nation where God brought a nation. You see, our God from the beginning, when you go back to original intent, and you'll hear that out of my mouth a lot from here on out. You go back to original intent. God was about generations, and God's always been about nations. And through that revival, a nation was born. A nation created on the pretext of liberty, freedom, justice for all, where men were free to worship the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob without compromise from the government, without instruction from the government. And the United States of America came to fruition. My question to you tonight as we get ready to worship, can you go home and prepare the genealogy of your family to bring in the reconciliation of this great country to original intent 30 years after you're dead. Dang, you got quiet. You don't know why that kitchen table is important? Because that's the only way it's going to happen. It ain't going to happen in Sunday school. It ain't going to happen in youth group. It ain't going to happen at church camp. If they're going to know anything about your history, your heritage, what the Bible says, if there's anything to be handed down for the next two generations, it's coming from your kitchen table. But when you give up on marriage, you give up on the family unit, when you give up as the Christian community on the things that are most important to God, you'll be sure to lose your inheritance here in the earth. You'll lose your inheritance of a nation. You'll lose your inheritance of a land. And you'll lose your inheritance of a generational promise that will serve the Lord Jesus Christ. I was sitting in that prayer room and he said, can you teach them how to do this, get ready for 40 years? I'm more of a 40-minute guy. Like, I want my stuff, like, now. Can you do it? Dang right we can. You don't get out in front of God, you stay right there and step with him. If it takes 40 minutes, 40 days, 40 weeks, 40 years. What if the prophets can't get the timelines right because there's always a human element involved? What if God doesn't do things in spite of you? He just does things with you. Those are all really good questions. That's why I like this little gig right here, because you can just spit it out however you want to spit it out. We got plenty of people all across this land that's been praying their guts out that God was going to fix this country for us. This country's of the people, by the people, and for the people, and that was his idea in the beginning. I just want to know where the people are. Because all the guys wearing our jerseys, about six of them stayed, and the rest of them defected. I wonder what day God was going to save Nineveh, but he had to wait on Jonah to ride around in a fish. Just saying. Anybody felt like you've been riding around a fish lately? Let me give you advice about a fish ride right quick before we sing. Sometime in the middle of that journey, be sure and repent so you come out the front. I'll just leave it at that. But I thought that was pretty interesting that the first time this happened, it took 40 years for God to prepare the way. Would we be the kind of people that would do that again? Or would we be like a bunch of Israelites that just enjoyed the provision of God for 40 years, but we never worked on our unbelief? And we never crossed. We never crossed into the promise. We never entered in. Hold that word entered in tonight because you're going to need it sometime during the evening. Let's pray right quick and we'll sing a couple songs. Lord, I just want to thank you tonight for your word. I thank you, Lord, for who you are. Lord, a lot of us have been praying. You've heard us. Lord, I'm going to tell you, I think in the last 72 hours, there's got to be a time that you just simply held your ears. Lord, you know what? I believe there's a pile of people in this earth mature enough to know that things don't always go our way. It doesn't change who you are, and doesn't change who we are, doesn't change the promise, it doesn't change anything other than just sets us on a maybe a little different course than we expected for the future. Continue to give us your strategies, God, for life, for the generations. For a place to dwell until you return. Lord, most of all, when we gather in this sacred assembly, I pray that the truth is always told without compromise, but always done in love. God, I ask that you always back the words that are spoken here with your presence, your miracles, signs, wonders, healings, manifestations. Let every man, woman, and child that hears my voice tonight come to a firm realization that they are in the presence of you, God Almighty. Lord, we love you. We humble ourselves before you. Give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, for those of you that are just with us tonight, or if you've just tuned in, I want to reiterate tonight the necessity of the kitchen table. That's why we set up here. Two reasons I set up here. I auctioneer cow sale most of the day while I'm, and then when I get here, by the time we hustle around and get here, sitting here and visiting with y'all, it's turned into a really good idea. But I like the idea of the kitchen table. Let me tell you something. The kitchen table is what will bring revival. The kitchen table is what's going to bring this country back to its right standing. The kitchen table is where the information has to happen. The kitchen table is where we bring the revealing of the presence of God, the reality of Jesus Christ. We got generations of people out there who have gone to church still wondering where God's at. Come on now, I'm telling the truth. Yeah, we know all the church verbiage. We know all that stuff. We're going to have to come out of that. We're going to have to go home, and we got to live our Christianity honest. I had a guy the other day, I was doing a newspaper, a magazine interview, and a guy just asked, he's a good guy, and he's a friend of mine, and he said, hey, I need to know something. He said, how do you do what you do? He said, you auctioneer them horse sales, and you hang around them places and all them people and blah, 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 and trading them horses. And, you know, it's not like sitting in a church office. It would be different. Be more like sitting in a bar. Which, by the way, is more fun than sitting in a church office. but he said, and then you do all that, and then you preach to everybody across the country. How do you do that? And I knew what he was thinking. How do you do that without being a hypocrite? That's what he's really getting at. How do you do that without being a hypocrite? So how many of y'all, without a raise of hands, when I talk about going home, how many people at your house know what kind of Christian you really are? That's a pretty good question. Yeah. That's why you send your money to missionaries overseas so you don't have to be one at your own house. Yeah, everybody knows how you are. How's that going to work? There's got to be at least one guy in this room just like me. How in the world are you going to preach the gospel? How are you going to share this Bible with people that know how you really are? I see one friend of mine raising his eyebrow over here. Isn't that a good question? So that guy asked me the question. I said, well, it's really easy and it's really hard. You're honest. You're fallible. And you don't hide from it. You're not self-righteous because all your righteousness comes from Jesus Christ. I haven't attained all these things yet. I'm still on my journey. There's plenty of Steve to go around, so I got quite a mess to clean up every day. Getting a little better as we go along, been doing it a long time. When a man comes to me at a horse sale and he's dealing with his sin, the last thing I'm going to do is pretend like I'm not just like him. So I like the kitchen table because I'm tired of preaching at people. And I'm just ready to visit with them. Don't fake my kids out. Don't fake my friends and customers out. I got friends in here tonight who are at the cow sale today. I can be fairly human. Amen. Amen. I got my wife sitting right here. I can be fairly human. Amen. I want to tell you that tonight so that you'll just go home and be you. Because here's what's been wrong with Christianity. We brought you in the buildings. We told you need to be somebody else. I can't train you to be somebody else. When the Spirit of God begins to work in you, you'll become somebody else. And it'll be a process. Might even take 40 years. There's a lot of human flesh to work out, a lot of mind to be changed, a lot of sin to be overcome. There's just all kinds of stuff you got to do. And the coolest part of it is, it's just walking it out in public. How many of y'all been here for over 15 years? Anybody? How many times have you heard me repent up here? 867,000? Public. Just walk up here and tell you, hey, I was a jerk this week. I need God to forgive me. I need y'all to forgive me. How many of y'all heard me tell you I preach wrong? Yeah, I've done that a lot. Hey, y'all, I preach wrong. Best news of the day is only 10% of you will remember 10% of what I said. So I didn't do that much damage. We're good. But it's about being honest. And how do you expect God to be real with you if you can't be real with him, and if you can't be real with the ones around you? I'm not talking about you don't have to run around regurgitating all your stupid stuff all over everybody else. But you don't have to pretend to be somebody you're not either, because that's very distasteful to the world outside. You know, since I brought my kitchen table up here, I believe in the last month I've been able to personally lead more people to Jesus than any time in my life. And I don't say that much, don't tell people much. But whether it's a desk at a sale barn or somebody else's kitchen table, or somebody calls me on Thursday morning because I was sitting at my kitchen table on Wednesday night, and we just visit, and they come to know Jesus. You know why I'm telling you this? Because that is exactly how revival is going to come to our land. It's not going to be about tent meetings. It's not going to be about your institution's annual revival. I mean, really, how many times can one church die? You got to have an annual revival. It's not about that. It's about all of us who actually know Jesus Christ. We leave this place every day full well believing and knowing and available to share our faith, share our love of our neighbors, to share our knowledge of God with anybody who needs a little help. How many of y'all know today in the situation we're in America, there might be one or two people in your neighborhood could use a little help? Not paying the rent, not buying groceries, that's easy. How many people that have just listened to the lies on the information highway on both sides of the fence are sitting there wishing somebody would just tell them the truth? There's not one of you sits down of an evening and puts your kids on the other side of your table while you fight over the mashed potatoes. And you intended on lying to them. We just got to tell them the truth. Question is, do you know what the truth is? For those of us that are born again, that's easy. Truth lives in us. You can't escape it. You don't measure that strictly on your performance or anything else. It's just the fact that God lives in you and the truth is in you, and you can't escape it. So when you're going down the wrong way, or you turn to the left or the right, you always hear this voice behind you. It's in Isaiah 30. The voice behind you saying, walk this way, walk this way, walk this way. If you don't have that going on, then I'd encourage you to sit at the kitchen table with Jesus for a while. Sit somewhere. Sit here tonight or whatever. And ask the Lord to meet with you. There's people here that might actually think that's impossible. I'm telling you, all who call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ask him to meet with you at your kitchen table. Ask if he'd let you sit at his. Learn what true revival is. Learn what true awakening is. And let's share that. It's kind of funny to me when rural America found out that ivermectin would stand on COVID's neck. Phones ringing all over the place. Hey, how much ivermectin did you take? What's your dosage? Like, I'm a doctor. I'm a pretty good vet. I can hit a vein. If you want to know everybody making the vein, I know how to hit a vein. Don't do that. Please don't do that. Please don't do that. Man shouldn't even make jokes around humans because they'll do some dumb stuff.
Well, that concludes our message, January 20th, 2021. Come join us 7:30 Wednesday nights at 710 East American Boulevard in Muleshoe, Texas. You can find us on the web, www.muleshoefellowship.org. We're on YouTube as Muleshoe Fellowship. And tune in every Sunday morning, 8 a.m. Mountain Time, to hear Steve on AM 1450 Cow Country. For Steve and everyone at Muleshoe Fellowship, God bless.